Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Need expert advice on your family's health? Speak to us today at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
We're going to stick with movies now. Time to look ahead at what's coming up on the big and small screens in the week ahead. And I'm joined today by Nadine O'Regan, acting editor of the Irish Times magazine and music broadcaster, and John McGuire, film critic at the Business Post. Good afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon, Brendan.
So, John, a TV show first, Feud, which is coming to Disney Plus. So, this is the second season of Feud, and it's Capote versus the Swans.
This is a kind of an astonishing cast, actually. Capote versus the Swans, in which the American writer Truman Capote is played by Tom Hollander, and the Swans, who are what he called the elite of the powerful New York socialites in the 1970s, who were his allies and his friends and his confidants. And they are played by Deep Breath Brendan, Naomi Watts, Diane Lane, Chloe Schwinge, Calista Flockhart, Demi Moore, and Molly Ringwald, which is a stacked
brilliant
cast, absolutely astonishing.
A feast.
A feast. And across 8 episodes, the director is Gus Van Sant, and he tells the story about this powerful high society connection, which was hugely important to Capote's career. It was the reason that he was still a famous writer in the US, was effectively destroyed by his own hubris and his betrayal. He used these women who were like the Vanderbilts, and they were the elite of New York society. And he used them as material for, thinly veiled and not flattering, for an ultimately unfinished novel called Answered Prayers. And he got caught. I mean, they caught him straight away and they turned their backs on him. And Capote, who was already spiraling, he was into drink and drugs and nightclubs. He goes off the rails altogether. And the first, like you say, the first season of Feud was excellent. It was focused on the toxic relationship between Bette Davis and Joan Crawford filming Baby Jane in the 1960s, switching from Hollywood to New York into the 1970s, switching from movies to writers. It suits the show, and it's good to see another season of it. The first one was in 2018.
Okay.
And 8 episodes, and it's really, really good. That's on Disney Plus.
And the first season is there too.
First season is there too, but it's well worth it. Capote versus the Swans.
Nadine, will we stick with historical dramas? Michael Douglas as Benjamin Franklin.
We like
Michael Douglas.
Actually, we do. And it's lovely to see him back on the screen. And I was looking forward to this. It's on Apple TV. It's just come out as of Friday, and it's based on the historian Stacey Schiff's 2005 book, A Great Improvisation, Franklin, France and the Birth of America. And Michael Douglas is in as the founding father of the USA, Benjamin Franklin, who travels to France as a sort of elder statesman to build on the alliance between France and the US and convince all around him to do as he wishes. Now, there are many interesting moments, I guess you would say, but there's also a lot of study kind of scenes at tables, dark scenes, cobblestones, horses, carriages, and people looking very ponderous. And
John,
my God, it's Wikipedia TV, unfortunately, Brent. This is Wikipedia TV because I'm looking it up. I'm on the tablet. I'm like, did this happen? Did this not? Who's this guy? What's this about? I don't know the historical context. And this is a very history heavy show, but they're not great at telling you why it's important that this.
Okay, maybe if
happening.
You're American. And you know, if he was playing Michael Collins,
like you say, Brendan,
Michael
Douglas is 80 years of age. He's still standing. He's still able to hit a mark and say a line. I think that's amazing. And
I'm saying in an interview there, the acting is all about the hair. Apparently,
his wig is good.
Yeah, is it? Okay, John, Fallout on Prime. So this is another video game adaptation from Christopher Nolan's brother.
There'll be a lot of interest.
I'm not sure what to make of it.
I think there'll be a lot of interest in it, especially after the success of The Last of Us last year. And it's been really interesting to see how video game narratives are crossing over into long form TV, which is hungry for intellectual property IP. Mm. And I think video games like Fallout are the perfect example for it. And it's funny that in the year that Christopher Nolan wins an Oscar for building an atomic bomb, his brother and sometimes screenwriter Jonathan Nolan, who's the showrunner for this, gets to drop a bomb and make a show about life after the bomb goes off. It's set in some kind of a imagined future that's very like the 1950s in the US. Boom, the bomb goes off. Some people are living in vaults. They're called vault dwellers, and they go down into nuclear bunkers deep underground. Everybody else on the surface just has to survive as best they can.
And the survivors are mutants and monsters and ginormous insects. Everything is rubble for the ordinary folk. A vault dweller, played by Ella Purnell, comes up on a mission and she has to try to survive. Walton Goggins plays the Ghoul, who's an actor before the blast and a seemingly immortal bounty hunter afterwards. And there's another kind of heavily armed religious slash military organization.
There's about 10 shows going on.
There's a lot of scene setting, and actually that's kind of the problem in the first episode, because the opening 20 minutes is fantastic, but then you're very abruptly shifted into another scene setting and event and another scene setting. It's very video gamey.
It's all one, two, find
a weapon, pick it up, start firing.
But this is it. There's three main characters. They all have quests and missions. They all have side quests and side missions, but they're all going to interact with one another over the course of this series. I think that's a really interesting way to tell a story.
It worked on
the video game is huge. The video game
and
is
it
a
looks
massive
amazing
franchise.
As well.
And it looks amazing.
Yeah. It is a bit like watching a Katy Perry video though at times, because Ella Purnell looks so like Katy Perry in how she comes across on screen.
I think that wide-eyed innocent thing that she's doing is really interesting. There's a kind of a tone here that flips between goofy comedy and proper sci-fi drama. That's a very tricky balance to find, and I think the whole cast does that really well.
Okay,
it's great to see
Prime,
Goggins,
and it's all there, isn't it? It's all there.
It's all there, all at once. Yeah.
Nadine, Baby Reindeer on Netflix sounds very cute, but it's actually very dark.
Based on a real story, the comedian Richard Gadd was stalked for a long time by a woman who is named in this only as Martha. It's a pseudonym, and she sent him over 41,000 emails. There were 350 hours of voicemail that she left, 744 tweets, 46 Facebook messages, 106 pages of letters. And as he says himself in the interviews he's done around this particular series, he sort of encouraged her at the start of their real relationship. He was working in a pub at the time. She had come in significantly older than him, claimed to be a hotshot lawyer, but she couldn't afford a cup of tea. So he got her a free cup of tea and kind of saw her maybe as an object of pity, but then also as maybe somewhat a figure of fun. So his attitude towards her was problematic, and then of course the way she treated him became increasingly deranged. But the program itself, the series itself, is utterly fascinating, because it isn't the story of one person being the bad person and the other person being the good person. As he displays really well through this fictionalized drama, he's in the pub as the character, and the role of Martha is brilliantly played by Jessica Gunning. And you see both of their private lives sort of unfurled and the frailties in both of their situations exposed. It is an absolutely fascinating series. It's on Netflix. It's out now.
Okay, Baby Reindeer. Two new Irish films. Let's speed it up a bit now. John, tell me about All You Need Is Death.
All You Need Is Death. This is Irish director Paul Twance. Now, he's made documentaries about music. He made a great documentary about Greek music. He made a fantastic documentary about a 50s rock and roller called Very Extremely Dangerous. This is his debut feature. It's an Irish folk horror set in the world of ancient traditional Irish music, with the brilliant title post Lennon and McCartney of All You Need Is Death. And it has a young couple have a job, some kind of a job, locating and recording rare and lost traditional Irish songs for money for collectors. And they find this one, which is held in her memory by a kind of a singer slash witch played by Alwyn Frere. And they secretly record it and release a demon curse into the world that comes after them all. Made independently, self-financed by Duane. Whatever has been spent on the film is up there on the screen. It's a very tidy production, solid script, fine performances, sparing visual effects, and a captivating and unnerving soundscape.
Okay,
from Ian Lynch from Lancome did the soundtrack.
Okay.
It isn't a jump scare horror. It's not going to frighten you, but it's deeply creepy. And you'll find it in cinemas from Friday. Yeah.
Okay, selected cinemas.
Nationwide, I believe.
Nationwide.
I think, yeah.
And Nadine, then, I think Friday week, this is a big screen John McGahern adaptation
from Pat
Collins.
They May
Pat
Face
Collins.
The Rising Sun, which is so interesting that it's coming to the screen now. It's been decades since, of course, that book, the very fine book, That They May Face the Rising Sun, was published. And Pat Collins is something of a John McGahern expert. He has directed documentary work on John McGahern in the past, and he's a very acclaimed director. And this story, it's a film really that has no drama in it, almost no drama in it. It's set in the 1970s in the countryside in an area of Leitrim, I think. And it exists almost entirely without plot, just very quietly depicting the day-to-day lives of these characters based in rural Ireland. And the great joy of the film is in how it is so stunningly shows the small rituals that go to make up ordinary people's lives and the day-to-day small tragedies that occur and the small humiliations or the small moments of grace. And it won't be for everyone. It is meditative, but, you know, watching it, it makes you want to go out into the woodlands. It makes you want to pause in your day. And it's a very special film, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm. And that's That Day May Face the Rising Sun. That's out Friday week, April 26th. John, 30 seconds to tell us about Keys to My Life tonight, RTÉ One.
Yeah, this is Brendan Courtney's show. I think this is a really clever idea for a show. The hook is smart. In order to get people talking about themselves, you bring them back to the places where they once lived.
So Keys to My Life.
Simple as anything. It's 7:30 tonight on RTÉ One is John Aldridge. And they basically, Brendan and himself go to the houses that mean something to him, the house he grew up in, the house he bought for his mother, the dressing room out in Dublin Airport where the Irish team used to train. You know, they're talking to his wife, they're talking to his family. And, you know, how to get somebody talking about things that they've probably said a million times. Somebody like John Aldridge has been interviewed a million times. You want him to talk about the things that mean something to him. So Brendan does cleverly get through talking about his marriage, being a grandfather, dealing with the trauma of Hillsborough, his late parents being dropped by Liverpool, you know, things like that.
Keys
I think
to
it's
my
really
life
interesting.
Tonight, yeah. RTÉ One, 7:30. Okay, John McGuire and Nadine O'Regan, thank you both very much for that.